Good morning. How are you all? Confess to you this morning, I'm a little nervous standing behind this thing. The last time I saw anybody standing behind something like this, there were two of them on Thursday night. Wow, all right. Read the room, moron. What are you doing? Chris, is your refrigerator running? I'll vote for your refrigerator. All right. All right, no political humor. Got it. We'll move on. Holy smokes. As you may have heard last week, we're beginning a series in the Psalms this summer. And so we'll be walking through over the course of summer just some different psalms that are on the hearts of those that get a chance to share with you. This morning we'll be in Psalm 103. I kind of just asked myself, it's interesting that we would go through the Psalms. Now, this is not the official word. I have not spoken to Travis or anybody else as to why we're going through the Psalms, so this is my thing, if that makes any sense. Hopefully it'll be a little better than the other stuff we've talked about so far. But what the Psalms is different than any other book in Scripture. And the reason for that is that the Psalms contain just about every single emotion known to humankind. And in some places you'll be like, you'll read and the author will be like, God, how long are you going to let this happen? How long are you going to do? My soul is completely downcast. Right, and you see all of these things from the highs of highs to the lows of lows, and so it's a little bit different. But for me, there's a few reasons I'm actually excited about this series this summer. The Psalms aren't necessarily written to give us information. The Psalms are written for us to experience what the author is experiencing. The highest of highs, the lowest of lows, against the mirror of who God is and how we too can walk through similar things because of who God is. And so in almost every psalm that contains significant emotion, you see, my soul is just, oh, I'm so broken, but God. And because of who God is and because of the truth of who God is, I can lift my head, I can move forward. Whatever the psalm happens to be. And that's obviously a broad generalization. It doesn't hold true probably throughout. But to me, it's a real exciting time to be able to open up. And in short, this is probably the easiest way to say this. You may not be aware that the Psalms would actually function as Jesus' playlist today. Every bit of worship and the songs that would have been sung would have come out of this book. And so corporately, as singing would happen throughout Israel, it would generally be from this place. And so the idea of this is that it's to be experienced, not to be specifically taught, I guess. And so I'm hopeful that as we go through this psalm this morning, you'll have a chance to experience what's going on in David as he writes. So if you would, please turn with me to Psalm 103, and we'll dig in. One of the other really cool things is that as we look at the maturation process of a believer, Psalms is an amazing place to begin to connect one-to-one with God himself. It's an amazing place for us to develop a firsthand knowledge of who God is in our lives. It does not require some guy with lousy jokes to teach it to you. It requires the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and direct you. Fair? Let me read to you 1 Peter 2:1-3. It says, so put away all malice and deceit, hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Psalms to me is fascinating because this is a place where you can actually taste and see that the Lord is good and do it in a firsthand way. One of the key ingredients of people that stand here behind this thing is that we equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Not that those people who stand up here do the work of the ministry, but that we equip the body to do the work of the ministry. The only way that happens is that we help you foster an intimate relationship with Jesus, one-to-one, first-hand knowledge of the Savior. All right, enough of that. That's just the introduction. You guys ready to go home? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquity, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thanks be to God. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to take a group of students to Colorado Springs to work at a camp called Eagle Lake Camp. And we spent the week painting doors green. I was bored out of my tree. All right, what are we doing next? Oh, door. We're doing all different variations on Karate Kid. It's great. But every evening, we got to meet with somebody who was in the leadership of the Navigators, and they would share different things with us. And one of the more impactful talks was given by a man named Jim Downing. Jim, at the time, was just about to turn 100 years old, and was the oldest living survivor of Pearl Harbor. And he met us for dinner at the castle at Glen Eyrie, and then we ended up sitting in his living room for a time. And one of the things that he said was, if we want to talk about meditating on the Word of God, the last word every day has to be God's Word. Last word, God's Word. Last word, God's Word. And you see, Christian meditation is different. It's not about emptying your head. It's not about being free of all things. It's actually about sitting and immersing ourselves in the things that God teaches us through Scripture. And so he had a crazy plan, and I'll share it with you real quick. And what he would do every night before bed is that he would open up the Psalms, and he would read one of five different Psalms. And he would read until something jumped off the page at him, and then he would close his eyes, and he would think about it as he went to bed. Here's the way he did it. Month has 30 days. What's today's date? Anybody know? 30th? Those will be real easy. Take the day of the month and go to that chapter. So Psalm 30, that's the first chapter. And you read through Psalm 30. If something jumps off the page at you, if God speaks to you, stop. Go to bed. If nothing does, skip ahead 30 chapters. Psalm 60, then Psalm 90, then 120, then 150. The seventh day of the month, go to Psalm 7, skip ahead 30, 37, 67, 97, 127. Right? So there'll be five chapters available to you every day. On the 31st of the month, you get to do whatever you want. That's freedom. No, it's... But it was amazing, the idea that the last word was going to be God's word. And then he would start his day the next day, if there was something to explore, by diving in a little bit deeper. And so as I went into this passage this week, one of the first things that I'll do as I look at a passage is I'll ask a question: can I explain this simply? And if I can, then I'll move on. Well, first verse of this psalm says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Pretty straightforward, right? Unless you have to explain it. How do you bless the Lord? Can you do it simply? Can we talk about it easily? How do you bless the Lord? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea what that actually means. And so I opened up my trusty concordance, my Strong's exhausting concordance, which is about this thick and contains every word that's in Scripture and its meaning. And so I looked up the word bless, and I was shocked to find out what it actually means. You ready for this? It's not at all what you expect. The word is barak. No, that's not a political joke. Back off. The word is barak. It means to kneel. It means to kneel. Well, that changes things a little, doesn't it? As in adoration, to adore. And so there's this place that, in understanding the word bless, it means to kneel in adoration before the Lord with my whole self, my very soul. Now, a number of conversations happen back and forth between what's the difference, soul and spirit, what does it mean? Here's the best understanding I've ever heard, and I'll share it with you so that we can talk specifically about the soul. Soul is made up essentially of four parts: our physical, our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual. And all four of those parts of us, who we actually are, comprise our soul. And so when this psalm starts out by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," it is really saying to us that our job, as we look at this particular psalm, what we are being asked to consider is, will we kneel with everything that we are and put it before our God as an offering of adoration to him? That is not how I would have defined bless the Lord. Not at all. And yet found it absolutely staggering. And so I came out of this with three different questions. You can see them here. First question, how do we bless the Lord? Second question, how does the Lord bless us? And then third, how do we bless each other? And so we'll kind of hit on all three of these things as we walk through this. So how do we bless the Lord? Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the third time we've been told to bless the Lord, bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. The reason that we are able to go before the Lord with pure adoration is listed here, because he forgives all of our iniquities. Every place that we fall short and go to God and say, hey, I fell short again. I blew it again. He looks at us and you know what he says? I forgive you. I forgive you. It's the very character of God who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. I want to pause on this one for a minute. The idea of redemption, when I was 8 years old, everybody know what this is? Anybody? It's trash. Unless somebody assigns value to it. Probably around 1978 in the state of Maine, cans and bottles were given value. So my friends and I would get on our bikes and we would cycle around the lake, especially the first few years, and we'd find as many of these as we could, and we would stop at the corner stores, we came back around the lake, and we would cash them all in for as many nickels as we could, and then for as many packs of baseball cards as we could, because I needed that Gary Allinson to complete my 1980 Red Sox set. Who pays for this? The interesting piece of redemption is that it costs somebody. Because I walk in the store and I handed them this, what 2 weeks prior was trash, and I got back a nickel. Who pays for it? It wasn't me. My wife went to the shopping center yesterday, and every week she comes home with a six-pack of Diet Coke just for me. And if you look at the receipt, it has the cost of the Diet Coke, which is ridiculous. And then what does it say underneath it? Deposit. 5 cents times six. Do you know what the word redemption means? To buy back. To buy back. And so as we talk about the character of God and the reason that we kneel, it's because he buys back our soul. He redeems us from the pit. He takes something, and this is my view of me, I guess, that once had no value and offers me worth. Anybody like a yard sale? How much is this? I don't know. It's worth $17,000. Not to me, it's not. What's it really worth? Whatever somebody's willing to pay for it. Guess what Jesus was willing to pay for me? Guess what Jesus was willing to pay for you? That's why we kneel. That's why we kneel. How do we bless the Lord? We remember. We remember. This is not an obedience issue. In fact, I heard something fascinating this week that the word obey doesn't even exist in the Old Testament, in the original language. It has two things that are translated that way. Number one is remember. The other two is listen with wisdom. You see, there's an assumption that's made that if God has said it, it's worth following. There's no need for that word. If God has said it, there's no reason for me to have to obey if I listen with wisdom, because I'm simply going to take the most wise things that have ever been shared and I'm going to put them into practice, because I believe that God always shows us the best possible way to live. How do we bless the Lord? We bless Him by remembering all of these benefits. How does the Lord bless us? Oh, we're starting to cover a little bit, aren't we? But if you were to go to some of the other blessings in the Old Testament, you know, the Lord bless you and keep you, and it would seem likely that the word for bless is different, wouldn't it? It's not. The word bless still means to kneel. In adoration. Think about the person of Jesus. Think about the posture of the life of Christ. His whole life was wrapped in love for you and for me, so much so that he was willing to kneel before his tormentors, before his assassins, before all those that would put him on the cross for me. If you flip over to Philippians 2 for a moment, Paul does a better job than I do. Starting in verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue that confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reality of Jesus' posture in his life, and more so in his death, as you see throughout that particular passage, translates directly to us. that the same love that he showed to everyone, we now have responsibility also. How does the Lord bless us? He died for us. He's the one who paid. He's the one who bought us back. The separation that occurs because of all the places that we fall short of the glory of God were taken care of and paid for by Jesus. And therefore, as his body, how do we bless each other? It's the same word. We kneel. We kneel. Wait, that's different, all right? It's different when it's people, right? It's a different thing. I understand that God would die for me because, you know, it's me. I'm all right. I mean, I've got my problems. I got my little foibles, but it's me, so okay, it makes sense that he would forgive me. But I don't know about some of you. The body's a finicky and a fussy thing, isn't it? We used to have a phrase that we would use when I was in high school ministry years and years and years ago now. As we talked to each other, as we would amongst the other volunteers that were there, and as we talked about what it would mean to minister to this particular group of students. And the question was always, right now, who's the least of these for you? Who is the least of these for you? Not that that's true in this room. I'm sure there are none. Especially after a long week of VBS. I'm sure that nobody's got any frustrations, any... Fair? How do we kneel? There's a place of intentional love that has to exist in the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to get beat up when I get home for saying this. But I am not in love with my wife every day. And she is not in love with me right now. So... There is an intentional level of commitment that comes along with loving my wife. There is a commitment that has to be intentional, that sits and says, I choose today to love my wife. She chooses today to love me. Not be in love with me, but to love me. And as a result of that love, love described here as higher than the heavens are above the earth, we are able to take those places of different disagreement and send them as far as the east is from the west. In the same way that God does with us. Are we perfect? Yes. No. No. Far from it. But are we committed in a love relationship? Absolutely. That's the choice. The choice is not to be in love. The choice is to stay committed because we love each other. Family. The choice is to stay committed because we love each other. Because we are created in the image of God. Because he remembers we are dust. And we're going to foul up. And we're going to approach things differently. And we're going to have things that tweak us. Can we be honest with each other? Can we ask for forgiveness when it's time and when it's needed? Can we let people know that we've been hurt before everybody else knows? Because we love to let people know that we're hurt. Matthew, it says that if somebody wrongs me, I go to them. In Matthew, it says that if I know somebody has something against me, I leave my offering and I go to them. So whether it's I have something against them or they have something against me, I go to them. It's on me. In a committed relationship, out of love for Jesus and his body, to make things right. To say the crazy words, I'm so sorry. And to say the even crazier words that I forgive you. If it's true that they will know that we are Christ followers by our love, it will show up no more dramatically than in those places of hurt. If we want to bless each other, we have to forgive each other. Ephesians 4:32 says this: Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Anybody ever heard of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As, that's Jesus teaching us how to pray. And as you'll see in the very last part of this, His is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty one who do his words, obeying the voice of his word. Poor translation. Sorry. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places in his dominion. And yeah, bless the Lord, O my soul. I was on the phone with a friend on Thursday, and he had just written a chorus, and Dylan doesn't know it. But he had just completed a study on, you ready for this? Forgiveness. Can I encourage you to sit around the scriptures with each other? Holy cow. You will be amazed the work that the Holy Spirit does. You will be amazed the work that the Holy Spirit does. Just sit and talk about what God's teaching you in scripture. Not in a, hey, you're supposed to read the Bible. That's not what we're talking about. But with a heart that says, I want to know what God's doing. If he's doing anything in you, please tell me, because I really like to hear about it. He says, Jesus, your cross stands between us. Our sins are dead with you. I choose to forgive. Heal the broken places and make us alive in you. Amen.